Well, good day, friends. Happy Monday. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. This is number 86, and we're glad you've joined us today as we continue our study of the Word of God. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, or find Philippians 4 on your phone, and let's study the Word together. Notice, starting with verse 10, and let me read again 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your inspired word. Thank you for the encouragement, the nourishment, the strength that it gives us. And I pray that the light of your truth will shine brightly on us today as we study your word. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been studying on how to trust God through financial ups and downs, or to say it another way, how to live within the means provided by God. We come to this section of Philippians, and Paul deals with some physical, even financial matters. As he was away in Rome under house arrest, the church back in Philippi gave to his need. They helped supply his need, his daily care. And it was such a blessing for them to be able to invest in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Let me say that it is a tremendous blessing for a local church to invest in God's work around the world. It's a blessing to have the light shine brightly locally. It must shine brightly locally. But it's also a blessing to lift up our eyes to the harvest fields of the world and to support the work of missions. God is at work today globally around the world to bring people to himself and to establish biblical and godly churches. It is a blessing to be involved in that. As a teenager, I heard a missionary from Africa speak, and he spoke on Jesus' words in Matthew, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I remember something that this man said. He said, when you are involved in building the church of Christ, when you're involved in the work of God in missions, you are investing in a venture that is an unlosing venture, a venture that will not lose. That is such an encouragement to know that in Christ, the work is going forward. Well, the Philippians had the joy of investing in the Apostle Paul, even as he ministered from under house arrest in Rome. Well, notice some principles here. We have seen that we need to learn the secret of contentment when we live within the means that God has provided for us. Let me share several thoughts about this idea of contentment. I need to be satisfied with what God has given me and where he has put me. I need to rejoice in his provision, his goodness for me, and not continually be discontented. We live in a very discontented age. What would happen, just think about this, what would happen to the advertising industry if everyone was totally contented? They build their industry on appealing to discontentment. Why do I need a brand new car? What's wrong with the one I have? Why do I need another brand of cereal? Why do I need another brand of spaghetti? You name it. Any matter of thing, they appeal to some dissatisfaction, and their product obviously is much better because of this quality or that quality. I learned in high school psychology class that advertisement uses weasel words. They are words that pull you in, that try to convince you, but they may not really be saying anything. Well, they appeal to our discontented attitude in nature. The Christian should have the opposite of that, should be able to do what was said earlier in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. If I'm constantly looking around at my cereal cabinet, at my refrigerator contents, at my car, at you name it, I'm looking at that and always finding some reason that I need something bigger and better and all of that, I may very well be in a state of discontentment. Some people do that with relationships. They become discontented with friendships, and sadly, some become discontented in their marriages and in their families, and they want to leave. And they think they'll find someone better, and usually they come to disappointment. If people were content, what would happen to these gimmicks of advertisement? And how about this lie from Satan? Wealth equals happiness. I want to say that is a lie from the evil one. If I can just have more, then surely I'll be happy. I think some of the most miserable people in the world are probably those who are just looking to gain more. And they may have already millions, but they want more. That wealthy man was asked, what would it take to make you happy? And what was his answer? Just a little bit more. One more dollar. One more dollar. No, that's a lie that wealth equals happiness. There's nothing wrong with wealth in itself. But there's something wrong when we put our hope, our trust, our confidence in wealth instead of in the God of heaven. So Paul is teaching us much here about contentment. In all situations of life, he had learned the joy of flexibility. He knew how to go up on the economic scale, and he knew how to go down on the economic scale. He was not locked in to one standard of living. I might say that it's much easier to raise your standard of living than to lower it. Much easier to raise it than to lower it. It's hard for us to go down the scale. And if for some reason God withholds some physical blessing from us for a time, for a season, it's to get us to trust in him, but sometimes that's a very painful lesson. I knew a man once who said he had made his million. He had reached that goal, but then he lost so much. God took him way down on the scale. Well, Paul says, I've learned to be content when I go up, when I go down. This tells me that Paul was not tied to his earthly possessions. He was not tied to these things that are here on this earth. A missionary also in my youth made an impression on me. He was home on furlough from Peru, South America, and he talked about how people can get so attached to their things that they're not willing to move, to go, to serve the Lord. He mentioned furniture. He said, you know, you can get so tied down to a grandmother's dresser or mama's rocking chair or whatever it was, any sort of thing, and we can be so tied to our possessions. I remember even a young lady that I dated once or twice, had an outing or two with her, and she had an opportunity that I thought was tremendous. for missions. And I remember so distinctly that she said, but you know, my car, because she had a nice car. Well, I thank God that he gave me a wife who was willing to go anywhere for the cause of Christ and to be content there. You know, we can't be tied to a car, to a couch, to a dresser, to money, to anything. Paul said, I know how to have what I need. I know how to be deprived. I've learned contentment in any and all these circumstances. I've learned to trust the Lord, to depend on him. What a powerful lesson for us. And that missionary that says, you know, some people are not willing to let go of their possessions. Paul was not tied to these things. He was willing to let loose of them. It's not wrong to have possessions, but it is wrong to set our hearts on them. So here's what we learn in the secret of contentment. We may stoop low on the economic scale. Paul says here, verse 12, I know how to be abased, put down, made low on the ladder. I know how to be hungry, he says in verse 12. But he also says, I know how to suffer need. You know, we are so blessed. Most of us here in the United States are so blessed with so many things, so many provisions from God. And yet, sometimes we have a discontented attitude and an ungrateful attitude. I need to learn the secret of contentment. I may stoop low on the scale, but Paul said also here, I know how to abound. I need to learn how to soar high on the economic scale and be content with that and to praise God for that, but not worship that, not set my heart on it. He says, I know how to abound. I know how to be full. Well, it's a blessing to be full. It's a blessing to have many things. So we may go low, we may soar high. And in verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. God may use people to provide for us. You know, that can be humbling. Sometimes Christian folk are proud and they won't take something from someone who's trying to help them. And it's just a matter of pride. We need to be willing to give, but we also need to be willing to receive. And I am so grateful. I am so thankful for the people, the saints of God, that God has used and continues to use to supply our needs for the glory of God. God has been so faithful, and his people have blessed us and have supported us, and we are very grateful. So today, friend, will you stop and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've provided for me. Even if you're right now on that low end of things, will you thank God for what you have? Will you thank God for the daily bread? And if you're on the high end of things, will you say, thank you, Lord, this is from your good hand. I enjoy these things as from you, because you are the one who is the giver of every good and gracious gift. It comes down from you, my Heavenly Father. Learn the secret of contentment. Well, God willing, we'll pick up here tomorrow on this. But as we go to prayer, you know, we think about believers in countries that have so much less than we have. Today I want to go to the country of Mauritania. It is on the northwest corner of Africa, that great continent of Africa. In Mauritania, Christians are facing threats in their worship. Let me just read a line or two from the World Watch list. For Christians in Mauritania, public worship carries a constant threat. Even churches that are largely tolerated have to be careful so they aren't accused of proselytizing Muslims. And for Christians who converted from Islam, public worship is often impossible. Baptisms must often be carried out in secret. This country of over 4.5 million people has only about 10,000 Christians. Let's pray for them. And then I want to pray also for Central African Republic. Mauritania is number 24 on the persecution index. Central African Republic, number 25. And it has a population just under 5 million people. And it does have a sizable Christian population. But let's pray for those believers to flourish there and to prosper and for their safekeeping. A specific prayer request says, pray with Christians targeted by rebel groups and Muslim terrorists. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful for the blessings we enjoy. Thank you, Lord, for food. Thank you for clothing. Thank you for a little bit of change. Lord, you have blessed us abundantly, and we praise you. But Lord, we realize that many of your children around the world have very little. And to them to say, give us this day our daily bread, carries a whole new meaning. I pray for brothers and sisters in Christ in Mauritania that you will protect them. I pray, Lord, for new believers to be bold, that they would be baptized and they would follow after Jesus. But Lord, supply their needs. Give them food, give them clothing, give them shelter. Most of all, give them, Lord, the Word of God in their language, in their dialects, and cause them to grow. And Lord, for believers in Central African Republic, we pray you will bless the believers there. Multiply their numbers. Thank you for all those who are there. But protect them, Lord, and keep them from the terrorist groups that would want to cause them to meet their demise. Lord, protect them. Give them strength and boldness and help them. Bless the churches. Cause them to multiply. Give them boldness and sound doctrine, we pray. And Father, for the church in America, may we give thanks to the giver of all the good gifts and not worship the gifts, but worship the giver. In Jesus' wonderful, loving name we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you for joining us on Bible Sunshine. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. And may God's light shine brightly on you today.